Good morning, everybody. Today's scriptures are going to be from Zephaniah 3, 14 through 20, and Luke 3, 7 through 18.
Rejoice, daughter Zion. Shout, Israel. Rejoice and exult with all your heart, daughter Jerusalem. The Lord has removed your judgment. He has turned away your enemy. The Lord, the King of Israel, is in your midst. You will no longer fear evil. On that day it will be said to Jerusalem, don't fear Zion, don't let your hands fall. The Lord your God is in your midst, a warrior bringing victory. He will create calm with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. I will remove from you those worried about the appointed feasts. They have been a burden for her, a reproach. Watch what I am about to do to all of your oppressors at that time. I will deliver the lame. I will gather the outcast. I will change their shame into praise and fame throughout the earth. At that time, I will bring all of you back. At the time when I gather you, I will give you fame and praise among all the neighboring peoples, when I restore your possessions and you can see them, says the Lord.
And now from Luke. Then John said to the crowds who came to be baptized by him, you, children of snakes, who warned you to escape from angry judgment that is coming soon, produce fruit that shows you have changed your hearts and lives. And don't even think about saying to yourselves, Abraham is our father. I tell you that God is able to raise up Abraham's children from these stones. The axe is already at the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree that doesn't produce good fruit will be chopped down and tossed into the fire. The crowds asked him, what then should we do? He answered, whoever has two shirts must share one with the one who has none, and whoever has food must share must do the same. Even tax collectors came to be baptized. They said to him, teacher, what should we do? He replied, collect no more than you are authorized to collect. Soldiers asked, what about us? What should we do? He answered, don't cheat or harass anyone and be satisfied with your pay. The people were filled with expectation, and everyone wondered whether John might be the Christ. John replied to them all, I baptize you with water, but the one who is more powerful than me is coming. I am not worthy to loosen the straps of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. The shovel he uses to sift the wheat from the husks is in his hands. He will clean out his threshing area and bring the wheat to his barn, but he will burn the husks with a fire that can't be put out. But with many words, John appealed to them, proclaiming good news to the people. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Les and Ellen. Can we give God the glory for the reading of God's word today? Welcome back to our journey that we've started together several weeks ago, this journey of pre-Christmas that we call Advent, as we are on a journey of going home. Not just preparing ourselves to go home to our family homes, the homes of our friends that we are going to have parties with and all that. That kind of homecoming is a good thing, but sometimes that produces stress. We're talking about coming home to God, coming home to Jesus, coming home to the Holy Spirit, coming home to the kingdom of God, or as we have been expressing it here, the kingdom of God, because it is in the kingdom that we have with our God who loves us and with each other is made known. This is the grace, hope, wholeness, light, love, peace, and most especially joy that we want to counter in that journey home. Joy is very much a part of this time together. It seems like the most natural one for us to lift up, especially our kids. I could have Leah and Isaac and Austin come up here, and anyone else that would like to just talk about, you know, what are they looking forward to for Christmas and what joy they found in the season. My grandkids are getting ready. They travel. Can we see that picture? What you behold here is a miracle, their mother says. They are all smiling at the same time. That is Maya, Micah, and Ezra. as they are there for their Christmas picture, and I think I see some joy. And they've been experiencing a great deal of joy. They've been with their cousins, and they've gone to Silver Dollar City already, and it's just been an amazing time. Children have this amazing way of encountering joy. It comes natural to them, right? For those of us who are a little bit more mature, sometimes it becomes a bit of a struggle to encounter that joy because we've got all this other stuff in life that is going on all around us. There's a lot of chaos that's out there that surrounds our lives. Some of it is put upon us, some of us we put upon ourselves, right? All of the different things that we were addicted to before, all the problems that we had before we come into this season, they're still here. But within this season, we encounter hope, we encounter peace with the great hope that we will encounter joy. Today, we're going to be talking about the joy of the kingdom, of coming home to the kingdom. And the prophets that we encounter today are going to help us. Yay, prophets! Invite them to parties, huh? No. They're kind of the Don and Debbie Downers, aren't they? It's like, It's kind of like the Beatles song off the White Album, Your Blues, you know? I'm so lonely, gonna die. There's so much of what a prophet says that seems to be doom and gloom. I was thankful for the words that Les shared with us from Zephaniah. I'm thinking, right on, Zephaniah. He's talking about great joy. But if you happen to notice, those words of great joy are in the third chapter. How many of you read Zephaniah? Oh, I see a few hands. Not top of your reading list, I see. Well, if you read the first two chapters of Zephaniah, it is all doom and gloom. And that's because prophets are not mediums. They're not fortune tellers. They are not foretelling as much as they foretell. Say that with me. Foretell. They tell it as they see it. They tell it like it is. Or rather, they tell it as God sees it. And God tells us the way it is. In the first two chapters of Zephaniah, they're talking about the kingdom of Judah. And Zephaniah, who is a descendant from a king of Hezekiah, probably a member of the royal court. Boy, that takes some nerve to stand up and prophesy. But he stands up and he says, you got to come back to God because you all have lost your way. I'm paraphrasing in a mighty way. You've got to come back to God. You've got to come home to God because the way that you're worshiping is wrong. You have forgotten your love for God. Come back to God. It's a message that many of the prophets proclaim. And it's not a message meant to be a downer. It's not a message to ruin our fun. What it is a message to say, if you keep going down this path, it's going to lead to your destruction. Come back. Come back. Now, what Zephaniah does is what all the prophets do as well. If you've read the prophets, then you know they are not all doom and gloom, that there are places where they come back and say, God is going to save you. And the same thing happens with Zephaniah. Those were the words that we heard in chapter 3. And I just would share these words with you. Even if Judah was to fall, even if they remained unfaithful, and unfortunately they did, and the Babylonian Empire came and kicked their tushes, and they were a kingdom no more. Until then, the Persians came and conquered the Babylonians, and they were able to go back home. They went into exile. But even then, there's a faithful remnant that Zephaniah talks about. And he says, on that day it will be said in Jerusalem, don't fear Zion, do not let your hands fall. The Lord your God is in your midst. Already God is with you. Do you hear it? This is not just a New Testament thing. It's an Old Testament thing. The Lord your God is in your midst, a warrior bringing victory. He will create calm with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. Watch what I can do with all those who oppress you at the same time. I will deliver the lame. I will gather the outcast. I will change their shame into praise and fame throughout the earth. At that time, I will bring all of you back at the time when I gather you. Even in the midst of foretelling, Zephaniah lifts up hope. And in the midst of that, Zephaniah expresses joy. All of the prophets express joy. Well, maybe not John the Baptist. Centuries later, a wild man appears in the Judean wilderness, skins of an animal, leather belt, eating bugs, drinking honey. And he has a message for the people. We talked about his mission last week, which was to prepare the way. And his way to do that was to foretell. Oh, and he foretold in a mighty, mighty way. I read a commentator this week who said, you know, whatever John the Baptist's message was, it doesn't seem to be gospel. It doesn't seem to be good news. It seems to be news of terror. And I don't know why he would say that. Then John said to the crowds who came to be baptized by him, hey, welcome. Welcome to the baptism. I hope that you're all comfortable and having a good time and that you know you were loved by God. No! The crowds, everybody, according to Luke, he says, you children of snakes, who warned you to escape from the angry judgment which is coming here? Produce fruit that shows that you have changed your hearts and lives. And don't you think, don't even go there, that Abraham is your father. I tell you that God is able to raise up children of Abraham from rocks here. This axe is already at the fruit of the trees and it's going to get chopped down. And then the ultimate thing here, the shovel that the Messiah is going to use is going to sift the wheat from their husks in his hands. He will clean out the threshing area and he will bring the wheat into his barn. But he will burn the husks with a fire that can't be put out. The original shake and bake. It's right there. And it's hard to see. Good news, isn't it? But see, that's another prophetic thing, something that prophets do. They foretell, and again, not to make everybody just feel terrible, although it may, not to rain on anyone's parade, although probably it should. What a prophet does is they foretell and they say, look at your life. You people that are coming for baptism, you're afraid of something. And you sense that you're just like snakes in a desert fire that come out of all the crannies whenever the fire sweeps through. You're just like the husks of wheat that'll fly away. But you need to repent. And when you repent, then to bear fruit. Now, I'm thinking, if I preached like John the Baptist, I don't think I would have you all in my church right now. There's a video circulating out there. You can look it up on Google. I didn't have time to prep it up in this message, but they call it the honest preacher, who is basically telling everybody, stop it! You're all sinning. Even though that preacher was too. It's hard when we hear these words. But then grace enters in. Where does grace enter in, I hear you asking? Well, because the people don't run away. They don't turn it back. If they do turn their backs on John the Baptist, we don't know about it. But what it sounds like is that he was one of the most effective preachers, either by foretelling, by telling the truth, by telling it the way it is. Then people said, they didn't run away, but they said, well, what can we do about it? What can we do? And so John, in God's love, tells them, When you have given your life to God, then serve where you are. Say that with me. Serve where you are. Scripture, I love how it says here. Oh, well, even tax collectors came to be baptized. Poor tax collectors, man. They were the bottom of the barrel of sinners, weren't they? Even the tax collectors came to be baptized, those scummy guys. And they said, what can we do? And he says, well, then don't cheat people. Collect what you're supposed to collect, but don't collect any more. Crowds are saying, well, what are we going to do? Well, share with other people. Those people that don't have anything, give of what you have for them. If you have two shirts and they have none, give them one. The same thing with food. If they have no food, give them food. Soldiers, don't bully people. Don't extort from people. Be a soldier for God. And John the Baptist is being real specific because what he's trying to do is, he goes, if you are turning your life to God, this is what it looks like to live a life that's turned toward God. It's turned away from your own self-interest and turning toward God, because something transformative happens, something joyful happens when you turn your life over to God. You stop thinking only about yourself and you start really opening your heart to others. And this turning toward God isn't a one-time thing. It's not just I'm saved and I'm done. It is an everyday process. That's how God's grace works. We're always turning to God because we always gotta. And we turn toward God and we give God our heart. And God's grace pours out and we go in that love, serving where we are. Teachers, pharmacists, retired pastors, Walmart cashiers. We serve where we are. It's not just pastors. It's not just the worship leaders. It's not just those folks that serve God. We all serve God. We are all ministers of Jesus Christ. Amen? That is what we are called to be. We are all to proclaim that truth. We are all called to prepare the way back home. And when we do so, then we have great joy. Because friends, what John the Baptist is giving specific examples for, he's just painting a picture. And he's saying to them, I want to be really clear here, just doing these things is not what saves us. Okay? There's nothing you can do on your own initiative that is going to save you, that's going to put you right. Because it's impossible. We're just that messed up in how we can behave. We cannot save ourselves. But the love of God works in us as we give our lives to God. And then we bear fruit. We show our faith out loud. That's what bearing fruit means. We show our faith out loud because of our relationship with God. Because God's grace and love works in our hearts. That is salvation. And when that works in our hearts, then we share that with others. And that, friends, when that happens, there is incredible joy. The transformation that happens is like this. We are on the road home, right? But the interesting thing about the kingdom of God is it's beyond a time and space kind of thing. It's not like we're going to arrive at this place and then we're there necessarily. It's like it's with us now. It is a here and a not yet until Jesus comes again. It is a here because Emmanuel is with us. And it's on the road where we also experience the kingdom as it breaks through our reality. And we experience that transformation. And friends, I think the biggest transformation, if we turn our lives toward God, is how our heart opens to others. And hopefully not just on the way to Christmas, but even beyond. That as we go into January, February, March, April, May, June, July, all the months of the next year and beyond, that our hearts are always open to how we can love on people even more. Because a new perspective is born in us. A new joy is born in us. Last night, I always like this, you know, I write this message and then it's like, dagnabbit, something just came back. And I got to add it. This came from a dear friend of mine. And really, this is not my friend's words, but it's a meditation on grief. But as I read these words, I thought about what the message of the Baptist is and the transformation that happens in joy, and I just couldn't help but go there. And I'm going to share these words, hoping that you hear the transformation that happens too. This friend of mine lost their spouse several years ago, relatively young, late 40s. And this time of year, we know it's hard. So hear these words. Perhaps he was not supposed to be my happy ever after, but I was his. What if our time together was not for me, but for him? He was not supposed to make me so happy, so loved. That was just a side effect. What if he was not given to me, but I was given to him? To make the time he had as good as I could. Maybe the blessings I got were not the point of it at all, but his were. What if I was but a tool to make his life all he could be while he walked here among us? Doesn't make it hurt any less. But it changes things a little in my heart and in my mind. I love him always. Can you hear the change? Meditating on grief, to be able to find the joy in the perspective of how we are all put on this earth as gifts for one another. This is bearing fruit for the kingdom of God. And in bearing fruit, friends, this is where we experience the joy. We're on our way home. And even though the days are getting darker outside, we still see the light of Jesus Christ, and that gives us hope. Even in the midst of all the chaos and the anger, we can still encounter love. Even in the midst of all the noise that we encounter in our lives, there is still peace, and most especially, even in the toughest of times, underneath it all, we can encounter joy. Why? Because we have a God who travels with us. Amen? For we are a people who are in the wilderness ourselves, and we're always going this way and that. But we come home to the kingdom. We've got Emmanuel, God with us, who takes us by the hand and leads us there. And then that same Emmanuel embraces us when we come in through the front door. Will you pray with me? Loving God, we are your children, and we would experience your joy. But we are also realists, and knowing that preparing for Christmas is not a warm, fuzzy thing. This world still has problems. There's still hatred and anger, dissension, but there is also you. And holy God, you give us hope. You put us on this earth with a holy purpose. We too prepare the way by turning our lives toward you, and in doing so, living our faith out loud, bearing fruit, and offering your loving transformation to everyone. Lord God, empower us, guide us, and love us in the days ahead. It's in your most precious name and in great joy that we pray. Amen.